Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Brian Orm and Drew Neal from the Divine Intelligence Conference.
Why don't you stand up and just give a warm welcome to the Brew Crew as they come up and minister to us.
Hey, hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing well. Slept good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good.
How about you?
Well, the fire alarm wasn't pulled this morning.
I know.
Like it was yesterday morning at the hotel. Twice.
The ear began to bleed just a tad.
Yeah, it was crazy. The fire alarm went off. Yes, it was intense. And then my door to my hotel room opens, and someone comes into my room.
Is that you, Lord?
Yes, Lord. Are you calling? You guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Come on. What a beautiful atmosphere this morning. It's wide open in here.
Yeah, worship was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, hunger's in the room. It's it's fun because on the weekends you see all the conference junkies come out, and I mean, I was here too. I'm one of them, you know, but it's always just great to see just the spirit of the whole family and a church on a Sunday morning come together, worship, be hungry for God, and man, it's just so good. And worship team did a great job this morning too. That was excellent.
Yeah,
we could. Yeah,
I almost pulled out my prophetic leotard and just began.
Oh,
you! It's like really close.
You have one?
I have many. That's normal, right?
Yeah, very normal. Yes, very normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was about ready to come out, like on that song, "Blow Mighty Breath of God." Not so good.
Yeah,
there was weight on that song, bro. I was about to come up here and like do a duet with you. You know, in those soaring vocals, I was in it. I was ready to go. It was excellent. Yeah. So, Brian, there's probably people in the room that don't know us. If you've never heard Brian and I live before, just would you raise your hand real quick so we see how many people don't know us? Because we're not famous, so thank you. I don't expect you to know who we are, that's for sure. Because let's just be honest. The brew isn't for everyone, you know? The brew isn't for everyone.
It's a unique mix.
Very unique mix.
Yes.
Yes. Well, sometimes, you know, Brian, you know, I when people don't know us, sometimes it's good to share a story.
Yeah. I find an embarrassing story is helpful.
Very embarrassing, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Borderline humiliating. Mm-hmm. So it's 1998. I'm in Salt Lake City. We're helping to start a church and a university ministry. And we're doing renewal meetings on Friday nights. People are coming from all over. We're seeing crazy miracle signs and wonders. And I was on duty to pray for people. So I'm praying for people, right? So a woman comes up, and she had, let's just say, a large carbon footprint. So my first thought is, I need help. If she were to go down so that she's not injured and anybody else. So I wave over my friend George. He's traversing across the front. I decided to just stand behind her, put my hand on the small of her back just to let her know, I'm behind you.
Yes. It's the signal.
Yeah.
That everything's going to be okay.
And it was not, because she began to fall on top of me. Now, there's slow motion. And then there's super slow motion. My first thought was, I could have never imagined this was how I was going to die. My second thought was, I would have liked to have been married to that girl over there. But, oh well. She lands on me. Any stuff in my lungs is gone. I can't breathe. Now, I'm thinking she'll recognize there's a human being under her, but she's just out. So I'm having a moment. Do I let her enjoy the Lord and I die? Or so on my last dying breath, I whisper, could you move so that I might live? So she comes to, oh, I didn't realize. How did you not realize? So she starts to do this to get the momentum required. Any bones that didn't break on the way down are now on the brink. She comes off. Now, I should have stopped praying for people. I should have actually gotten a sozo after that. But I continue to pray for people. I go up to another woman. George is behind her now. I'm in front of her. We're good to go. Now, her hair was super curly, like really curly, tight curls. So when I went to pray for her, she begins to kind of go backwards, like, oh, yes, Lord. And then she thrusts forward into my chest, wearing a shirt like this. Those curls wrapped around a button. Like, I am not making this up, by the way. Then she falls back. Anytime you want a button to fall off your shirt, it is right now. But it holds on. I fall on top of her. I'm hoping she's out like the first woman, because my head is in the mammary region. Okay? It is really awkward. I'm trapped, can't move. And she says, what are you doing? I don't know. I have no idea what I'm doing. So we work together, and I stop praying for people. The moral of that story is just know there comes a point when you need to stop praying for people.
So I think it's important that we don't classify this as a testimony, because this is not what we want to happen again. No. You know, this is not one of those do it again moments. Oh my gosh, that is awesome. Isn't church fun? Like, it's so important for us to like be engaged and aware of the humanity that's in play in all of these moments, isn't it? And it's really, really good. I had a short story. I mean, I can't top that story. I should have told my story first. But since we're telling embarrassing stories, anybody like Phil Wickham? And you guys like his worship music? He was, you know, really coming on the scene in the mid-2000s, and I was promoting concerts at the time. And so I was bringing the kind of the biggest names in Christian music into Detroit. And so I really liked Phil because I was also doing quite a bit of worship leading and a lot of different things. So loved Phil's music and loved what he was doing. So right at the same time, iPhone had come out. And so the iPhone was out, and you could like turn any song in your iTunes into a ringtone. You guys remember that? You know, like, remember when ringtones were a thing? Like, they're gone now, but they used to be a thing. Nobody wants their phone to ring anymore. So ignore. It's like automatic ignore now. We don't want it to ring. So I'm playing with iTunes and like trying to figure this thing out. I got an iPhone. This is kind of fun, kind of the new gadget. And so I drag a Phil Wickham song into this thing, and I'm like, okay, this is how it works. And I wasn't a big ringtone guy, actually, at the time, either at that point. But I wanted to understand how the technology worked. So then a little bit later, I sync my phone, and all of a sudden, every time my phone was ringing, this Phil Wickham song was coming on. I'm like, I don't want that to happen. I'm like, but, you know, it is, you know, maybe I'll just, like, attach it to whenever my wife calls. That would, you know, let me just do that. Like, I don't know. I've never had a ringtone before, but that's what's going to happen. So fast forward a few weeks later, Phil Wickham comes to town. And so Phil he shows up to the venue. He's with his manager, and they're in a car. They just come from the airport, and you know, the band and all the gear was coming in on some trailers. And so you know, I'm the promoter of the event. I'm managing the venue. I'm managing the whole thing, the budget, all the people, the volunteers, all the stuff. And so, you know, I always greet the artists and they show up, but it's always important that you are, like, respectful of people when they're coming in like that, especially if they have a higher profile. And so the thing that I don't ever want to do is come across as a fanboy, right? Nobody wants to be the fanboy, right? You know, it's kind of like you never want to walk up wearing the T-shirt of the person you're talking to, right? Like, you don't want to do that. Like, that's not cool, right? And so Phil's getting, I'm like, hey, can I help you guys get in, you know? And he had a suitcase, a couple of things. Like, hey, let me help y'all. Let me grab your stuff, you know? And so I never have my phone on ring, ever. My phone's never on ring. But wouldn't you know it, that Phil Wickham is standing next to me, and my wife believes she needs to make a phone call. And right there in that moment, I have a suitcase in this hand, I have a guitar in this hand, a phone in my pocket on Blair, and his song comes reaming out of my phone. And I'm like trying to like turn it off, and he looks at me and he's like, I was fanboy right there in that moment. And Phil wouldn't be my friend, you guys. Phil wouldn't be my friend. He was scared of me, actually. He's like, I know who you are. It's not going to end well. Terrible.
Love it, man.
Yeah.
You know, Phil lives in San Diego.
Phil lives in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I love his music. He's amazing.
He is amazing.
Yeah, he is amazing. So, you know, it's fun living, isn't it? We've been talking about divine intelligence this weekend, Brian.
It's been fun. Have you guys enjoyed it?
Yes.
Yeah?
Very much so.
Lots of fun.
Lots of fun. Why don't you tell everyone what divine intelligence is?
It is, in simplest terms, learning to love God with your mind. Partnering with the mind of Christ to architect and administrate mystery into the earth, into tangible solutions, blueprints, plans. They could see heaven manifested in something that can be touched, tasted. It can be smelt. Is that a word? Smelt?
Smelted?
Smelted.
In the smelter?
Yes.
I Minecraft. Anyone play Minecraft? Like, my kids, they're smelters in,
that's true.
In Minecraft.
That's true. Then it's a word.
It is.
So it's just that we've been given access to the mind of Christ in its totality. We've been anointed to know all things. And that as we explore that union that we have with God, that there can be a epignosis, a generational knowing, an ancient future knowledge that can begin to help us be who we're called to be and to release heaven on the earth. So.
Yes, powerful. You know, we come into these amazing services, you know, even like this morning, we have a time of just great worship. The atmosphere is wide open, right? You just feel like anything's possible in these moments. And the divine is amazing in that way that it can blow our mind away. But one of the things I learned out of these meetings and these times together as a community and as a family is that, you know, this is not the pinnacle of Christian existence. What's happening right here? This is not the epitome of spirituality. This is where we get encouraged. This is where we get built up. This is where we remain connected with one another and we get equipped. But what happens the other 6 days of the week are actually way more important than what happens right here. Because that's where we actually begin to build and love and release and see transformation. And so, you know, this is the gym. You're in the Holy Ghost gymnasium right now. And this is a weight room. There's a Holy Ghost treadmill somewhere in a corner. You know, or actually Peloton. Sorry, we got to be culturally relevant. There's a Holy Ghost Peloton in the room. And we're all on it. And we are exercising our senses. Hebrews chapter 5, right? And so that exercising of our body, our spirit, and our soul to be aligned with heaven so that when we go out of here, we can begin to release transformation. And so, you know, really I see Sunday morning as a celebration of all that God did the last 6 days and then encouragement and refilling up so we can go out and be equally impactful the next 6 days. And so there's something significant, though, about understanding how to take what we experience in the supernatural as a community and the moments we have with the Lord in our prayer closet or, you know, as we're communing with God and turn those interactions into solutions. Has anyone ever had that moment Brian was talking about where, you know, you're just out. Like you get hit by the power of God and you're just out. Like those are radical moments. God's doing something in that moment that should alter the way you think, the way you make decisions, what you partner with, who you partner with. It should have a domino effect into elevating the amount of impact and the depth of transformation that begins to move through your life. If what happens here doesn't change the way I live, it's form without power, which is religion. We don't need more religion. We don't need more churchianity. We don't need more professional Pharisees. Hi, my name's Drew. I'm a recovering Pharisee. It's been a few years and a few days since my last judgment. Like, we don't need more of that. We need real transformation, measurable transformation in our schools, in our institutions, in our government systems, in our water, in our, the way we produce food, and the way that we raise our kids, and the way that we relate as a community, as a state, as a nation, as a world. We need real solutions in the world right now. And that's, the solutions aren't going to be praying for a glory cloud to show up, you know, in the park. I mean, praise God if it does. I'll be there and I'll celebrate it. But that's not a sustainable path to transformation. That's a sign and a wonder to point God, point people to God, who is the source of transformation, that should then change the way we live. Right. Divine intelligence allows us to be awakened to the concept of how to integrate what we've gotten through wonder into solutions that can now change the world around us.
Love it, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a good
one. That is awesome. It's delicious.
Delicious.
Delicious. So Drew and I were talking just about really releasing some prophetic words over the house and some stuff we're seeing. And, you know, what you were just talking about really reminded me last night. I was praying about it in worship. I was seeing geometrical shapes drop into the church. A lot of different types of shapes. And so geometry, the Greek word means earth measurement. It's a measurement. You know, one of the ancient pathways of mathematics, this geometry, really started as surveying to help bring solution in the surveying space. And so I felt like the Lord was releasing measurable results, and there was an angel associated with this, that you're going to begin to have specific, like when you look at geometry, it's precise. It's not ambiguous. And I felt like the Lord was saying this angel is being released to the church to bring what was ambiguous into something that is precise. And that there will be metrics that are very measurable. And with that, I saw an angel in the right corner last night. There was, I know this might sound weird for some of you, but it's just what happens sometimes. A portal opened up, an angel came in, and there were streams of light coming out of this angel, kind of like in spirals into the building. And so I went back to the hotel last night. I didn't share about the angel. I just shared about the light last night. And I was like, okay, what is that angel? And he said, it's angel of revelation. And my sense is that you're going to begin to have downloads in this place that in the midst of your worship, in the midst of whatever's happening. And I heard the Lord say he's going to fast track some things. So like the speed with which this light was moving was very fast. I mean, it's the speed of light, right? And so God is going to begin to fast track. Some of you are going to have incredible moments of revelation. And it will be wondrous. But then there's going to be a partnership with the geometrical shape to have a measurement in the earth to ground that out. So hopefully that makes sense.
Amen. If you want some of those revelation encounters, just lift your hands right now. Brian's going to pray over you.
Come on. Let there be light. Let there be light. We thank you, Father, for uncreated light, revelation, illumination, yes, that our mind can be illuminated. And I declare that epinosis, that supernatural knowledge, supernatural knowing, begin to unlock what is inside of us already, because you are in us. We are with you, and you are with us. We thank you for union. All fruitfulness flows from the place of union. All fruit comes because we are one. So I just declare a heightened awareness of our union with you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17, those that are joined to the Lord Jesus are one spirit with him. We thank you there's no distance and there is no separation. Let the light reveal the illusions that those mindsets are. So we thank you, Father, that you love to speak, you love to reveal. And I just declare a great revealing in this place. Where there was ambiguity, there would be clarity. Let there be light in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. It's really funny. I see, it's almost like there's like a zipper around all of your heads right now. And I just see the Lord literally unzipping your head. There's like, it's like saturation. It's like direct access. It's immediate exposure, you know? It's like sometimes you take some medicine and it takes a little while to kick in for dissolve, and then you get an IV, it drops right into your blood flow, and there's literally, it's going to be revelation that comes right into your blood flow and right into your mind to renew your mind, which is exciting, because really that is how the kingdom works, isn't it? So Lord, we just declare that in Jesus' name. I really felt like, as I was praying for the house, I felt like there was this Jacob wrestling with the angel scenario that's happening here. And, I mean, that's a great story, isn't it? It's also a story of struggle. And how many know that everything in the kingdom of God is full of tension? You know, the essence of the kingdom is truth, right? And truth is not a thing, it's a tension. Because, you know, truth is multidimensional. So most of us think about truth as a paradigm. You know, meaning I have a thought, I have a vantage point, and it's true. But what is a higher form of truth than a perspective or a paradigm is a paradox. And a paradox is two opposing viewpoints that in the tension of those two things, a higher truth is possible. Yeah? So you have a left brain and a right brain. It's paradoxical. Marriage is a paradox. You have a man and a woman. You know, and the tension of your mind is higher truth. And the tension of marriage, the two become one, and children come from that place, right? Your child is actually a higher form of truth of your love. It's a physical manifestation of what starts in the unseen and produces something at a higher level, yeah? We can keep talking about this. The king and the priest is a paradox, right? We have those that offer sacrifice to God and are hyper-vertical, and we have those who export the kingdom of God and are hyper-linear, right? And so we have this tension of these two things coming together to create a higher form of truth. And so it's really important that we understand that two things can be true at the same time and be opposite. Yeah? So the kingdom of God is not black and white. It's not that easy, because it's actually about progress. And what can be true in a season of maturity would not be true for those who are just getting started. And let me just—I'll just share this real quick. You know, isn't it funny? You know, as you know, for those of you guys that have kids, I have five kids, married 19 years, and we have four little boys, and who aren't so little anymore. And then we have a little girl who's brand new. She's a year old. Her name's Hallie Marina. We love little Hallie. And so it's interesting, because when you're raising children, one of the things you're doing is protecting them, right? And so, you know, could you imagine, let's just go into the mind of a two-year-old real quick, and let's see the world from their point of view. It's like, you know, like 2-year-olds should be the most discouraged people in the world. I mean, let's just think about how many times they fail on a daily basis at life. They don't walk. They don't know how to wipe their own butt. They don't know how to make their own food. I mean, it's a depressing day to be a 2-year-old. But they love it. Like, they're the happiest little things in the world. Like, this is fantastic. I can only think about the conundrum. You know, it's like, let's think about the stove real quick. Let's think about the conundrum we put our 2-year-old in. Like, the stove is hot. The big, bad, evil thing in the kitchen, you don't go near it, you don't touch it, and, like, you get screamed at by your monstrous parents if you come near this thing. Do not touch the stove. Right? I mean, it's hot. It'll get you. It's hot. Don't touch the stove. Do not come near the stove. Don't do it. It'll get you. So the 2-year-old's like, okay, chill. I'll get away from the stove. And then what happens? We turn around and we go touch the stove. The very thing that we say is going to destroy them is the thing that we use to prepare the sustenance of their life. Come on. For a 2-year-old, it's true that the stove will get you. But as a provider and a protector, it's necessary to know how to manage and steward that fire so it can produce fruit in your life. It's true that it will destroy you, and it's true that it's necessary to sustain you. Both things are true at the same time. That's the paradox of the kingdom. And so I believe that there are going to begin to be paradox experiences in your house where we need two things to be true at the same time, which means we need wisdom. This is what wisdom is, right? We need leadership and we need room. How many know that in religion, we don't make room for multiple thoughts? Because religion requires conformity. We all got to look the same. We have to believe the same. We have to show up at the same time. We got to stand up, sit down the same. We got to do everything the same. But in the kingdom, we celebrate diversity. We don't celebrate conformity. We celebrate diversity, which means I get to be powerful and have an individual expression, while also Andrew gets to be powerful and have an individual expression. But we're connected in our motivation of seeing heaven come to earth. And so there's times when me and Andrew might do the same thing, but there's times where we need to do something individual as well. And so what I believe this is going to begin to open up is greater depth into the corporate anointing on the house. We don't all need to do the same thing at the same time, all of the time. There's moments for that. But we need to begin to open up the idea that we need individual people to begin to champion things that I have no business doing. Come on, somebody. Like, we actually need you to be powerful and to be the full version of who God says that you are. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, we need you to be you. It's true that Jacob was Jacob and Israel at the same time. It's true that he was the heel grabber, but it's also true that he was the prince of Israel. A prince before God and before man, right? And so we need to begin to open up as a family. I'm saying we because I'm part of your family. Yes. You're stuck with me. Yes. And so we need to begin to open up this idea of what does it look like for the corporate anointing, for the corporate identity to begin to have greater dimension. So that there's room for the anointing on the house to be expressed at multiple levels. Does that make sense? Yes, absolutely. And so there's a real need for permission, I believe. I believe there is a freedom about to come into the house for the corporate anointing to expand and for definition to come and allow for the unique expression of the house to begin to expand. Some of you guys are going to be the radical revival intercession junkies, and you're going to, like, all you want to do is pray. And I love it. It's amazing. You know, it's like, that's phenomenal. But, you know, everyone can't sit and pray 24 hours a day or else nothing going to get done. Can I get a big amen?
Amen?
But there are those who are called to day and night intercession. And we bless you in the name of the Lord. We bless you in the name of the Lord. And actually, we need you to do that. We need you to do the thing that God has asked you to do. You know, and there are those that are going to go out and you're going to be the evangelist, and you're going to go out in the highways and the byways, and you're going to live in the extraordinary life of the supernatural, creative miracles, sharing the story of, hey, God loves you. You're going to have this mandate to go roar in the highways and the byways. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to go do that.
Come on.
Not everyone's going to roar, though. Because let's just face it, there are some people who are anointed to roar. Come on. It doesn't mean that we all should share Jesus, but some people share it in a way that when they share it, everyone just says yes. Blows my mind away. It's amazing. I celebrate that anointing. Come on. I celebrate the entrepreneur in the house right now who needs to go out and solve problems through enterprise and sustain the distribution of the solution that they create. From wisdom. Come on. And so when they can't be here at everything because they're out distributing a kingdom solution in the world, we celebrate the need for you to focus your time and to go do that. And we make room for you to still be valuable in the family even though you're not here every second the doors are open. Come on, somebody. We celebrate the pastor, the biblical definition of pastor, the shepherds, the lovers, the includers, the restorers of heaven. We celebrate you in the room. We also celebrate the apostolic leaders who need to be out in the culture, architecting and bringing transformation into cities and into nations. Come on. The diversity of the anointing of the body, we celebrate it. And I believe the Lord's about to introduce freedom in this house in a profound way to begin to define the unique anointings in the house that make up the greater corporate anointing. Come on. Come on. I hear the Lord saying He's about to name you. There's like a new name that's about to come over you. There's a new name. It's going to be an upgrade. It's going to be significant. It's going to be powerful. And that doesn't have to be hyper literal. It doesn't mean you got to change the name of the church unless you want to. But and then if you do, bless you in that. But it's really about, it's a new identity. There's and it's not even so much that it's a new identity as much as it's greater clarity on the identity that exists. And putting weight behind what we know and we believe is true. And so it's time to define who you are. To have an upgraded perspective of the bride, we need an upgraded perspective of who we are as individuals. To have an upgraded perspective of who I am, I have to have an upgraded perspective of who God is. That's how it flows, right? There's an increase in the corporate anointing about to come over this house. And the impact that will come through your life, you. It's about to elevate as you do it.
Awesome, man. So while you were sharing, I was seeing underneath the foundation these boards that were, some were rotting, some were kind of bent, and then I saw water underneath, and I saw patchwork underneath that. Past generations they try to patch it up. So as I saw light coming from the top, there was water coming from below. Part of the anointing that's coming upon this house is an anointing for deliverance. You're going to begin to see the purity of power in this place. The pathway of that purity will hit you first. Yay. So, if you got to bring some things in the light, it's probably a good time to do that. It's not a fear issue, it's a freedom issue. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a container of freedom. The architecture of your life was designed to contain and release freedom. And there's something really significant about when the anointing comes upon us, which is many times hard to define. It's this specific power for the purpose of freedom. It's a release of freedom. Now, that could be the freedom in the context of someone getting set free and a deliverance. It could be the freedom for you to be who you're supposed to be. It could be the freedom to be an entrepreneur and the anointing that comes upon you to do that. So it's not just specific to deliverance. It's specific to freedom. And that people will see the life of you as an individual, but the life of you in a corporate setting. I'm seeing people coming in that will literally, like, I'm being reminded. So whenever I'm reminded of things and I'm seeing pictures, I know it's for this moment. And so when we were doing university ministry at UC San Diego, when we started, for 2 years, every meeting we had, people manifested demons. Every single meeting. We would have people come in, people would manifest demons, and people were set free. Now, what did that do? Like, when you look at Jesus, when he healed people, with some of them, he's like, hey, shh, let's keep this on the down low. When it came to freedom, deliverance, he's like, tell everyone what happened. When you have the demoniac who has thousands of demons, like, he's kind of messed up, right? He's got some issues, lots of issues. And he's the guy who's screaming, breaking stuff, hanging out in a graveyard. Like, everyone knows the guy. He's the guy, right? Have you heard of the guy? Yeah, we hear him every night. Yes. Jesus comes, casts thousands of demons out of this guy. And the guy wants to come on the boat with he and the disciples. But Jesus says no. Isn't that strange? I mean, what leader would cast thousands of demons out of someone and then immediately say, go into the city on our behalf and speak? It's exactly what Jesus did. He cast demons out and he cast them immediately into the harvest. And when they come back to this place, there's such a revival that people are just out in the streets. They're being healed, probably because of this one guy. So what we began to see was people who were so dramatically set free that all of their friends were like, I have to know what's going on here. This is what I'm seeing, that there will be a bandwidth of breakthrough, an anointing specific for deliverance, a purity of power. And it will start in your house. So that what's inside of the house can flow out of your belly to water creation. That there be a purity to that, to water creation. That's why the water comes out of you, out of your belly. It's to water creation. So just as we sit under the shadow of our Father, creation sits under our shadow. We've been given governance in creation. And if we're going to govern outside of ourselves, it has to begin here. Come on. So we thank you, Jesus, for the power of deliverance. We thank you that we've been commissioned, and one of the things you said we can do is to drive out dark beings that are oppressing people.
So we just welcome the purity of your power and the purity of your light. And we thank you. We are houses of freedom. We can't help but be free. In Jesus' name.
Sis, what's your name? Yep. Sherry? Okay, great, Sherry. Could you stand up for me real quick? Is that all right? Yeah, excellent. I've got a word for you. Is that okay? Yeah. We always love a good word. Are you familiar with Bob Jones, the prophet? Yeah. I heard this story one time from a friend, and he was at a conference, and he was speaking at the conference, and so he showed up to this place, and while he was there, Bob Jones was in the mix, whatever, and so he was like feeling a lot of pressure to be like this awesome speaker because Bob Jones was there, right? And he goes out to go pray, and he goes out in the woods behind the church. He's nervous, he's doing this whole thing, and he's walking this trail. And while he's there, there's an eagle on the branches of this tree. And he said that eagle was staring right at him the whole time he was out there. So he's praying out there, he's nervous, and he said he was, you know, this guy's kind of a verbal processor, my friend. So he's out there kind of doing the thing. Comes back into the building. And Bob sees him and says, boy, why are you so nervous? And starts telling him all the prayers that he just said out in the woods. And he's like, Bob, how do you know this? He goes, well, you were looking right at me. He goes, what do you mean, Bob? He goes, you know what I mean. He said, you were looking right at me in the woods. That's some crazy stuff. There's something about the supernatural and the eagle and the seeing. I feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you that story and maybe not even tell you what it means, but for you to begin to seek out the heart of God about what that means. I feel like there's a very strong invitation to wonder for your life. It's very mystical. It's very mystical. It's radical. And people aren't going to understand it.
That's right.
But the Lord wants you to know that you're going to be okay. He's going to protect you. He's going to preserve you. And there's obviously meaning on this that I don't understand. You know. But there's a radical invitation into this realm to explore the dimensions of time, space, and people like Brian and people who have that anointing need to mentor you to help you unpack these types of experiences because it's just going to be wild. And it's almost the Lord. I just see that the Lord's going to start to send you on very unique assignments. Very unique assignments. And I love the story. What's the evangelist, East Coast prophet evangelist guy that had all the manifestation of gold on him all the time for a while? No, Mills.
Yeah, Joshua Mills.
Joshua Mills. Are you familiar with Joshua Mills? So just keep receiving. I'm going to share another story, okay? Just keep open because I'm going to. So Joshua Mills, powerful man. He's a revivalist. And he shares the story of having a dream. And in his dream, he went to China. And anyone else heard this story before? A few of you guys, yeah? And so I don't know all the details of the, you guys could probably share it better than I could. But the short of it is, in this dream, he steps out of an elevator and the Lord shows him to walk to a house in a city. It's China in his dream. He goes up to the house. People are praying there. He walks in. He ministers to everybody. And then he leaves this house. It's like an underground church. It's there. And Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now, here, right now. Thank you, Lord. More of this, God. And so he's ministering in this house. He leaves, and then he wakes up. A short time later, he comes into a conference, and there's a Chinese pastor is there. And they start talking, and he says, it's nice. Joshua says, it's nice to meet you. And the pastor says, well, you know we've met before, right? He says, what do you mean? He says, well, a few months ago, you came and you visited our house.
Come on.
And you prophesied over us. They start telling all the prophecies, and it was the prophecies from his dream. God had sent Joshua on an assignment through a dream that had a physical manifestation. You're about to carry testimony.
Come on!
And it's even part, like, I feel like the Lord's even preparing you as a sign of the diversity of the corporate anointing on the house. Because not everyone else is going to do this with you. There will be a few, and you're going to find tribe around it, and you're going to be supported and you'll be loved. But the Lord says, daughter, I'm about to send you on assignment. So, Father, I just bless this mighty woman of God right now.
Yes, Lord.
And Brian, would you actually go pray for her? Do you feel comfortable doing that? Yeah. I feel like Brian's got something for you right now. So let's all just stretch our hands towards her. Brian's going to pray for her. She needs to hear something from Brian, and he's going to pray. But we're going to pray right now. Let's just get behind what the Lord's doing right now. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what is happening in this moment. Father, even a commissioning right now to embrace her true mystical self. Father, we release freedom and permission right now. Freedom and permission. To accept the invitation in Jesus' mighty name. We declare it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break off, Father, labels. I break off fear. I break off, Lord, chains that have held her back. Father, I break off the fear of man. I break off these things. And we release freedom right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be who you made her to be in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I heard the Lord say, fairy godmother, bippity boppity boo. It's like he's given you a wand, and when that happened for Cinderella, it was the moment of her transformation. There's just something really transformative he's placed into your hands, so come on. So I was praying for you guys this morning, and I saw you guys were on a merry-go-round, and it was spinning really fast. And the Father came, and he slowed it down, and he stopped it. And then he transitioned you to a swing set, and he began to push you. And you know when you're on a swing set, you get to that point, and you jump off like when you're a kid. And so he was saying the vessel that you were on was constricting you. You were not able to concentrate because when you're on a merry-go-round really, really fast. So I'm transitioning you now that you're going to be able to actually begin to soar into something much different. And there's a freedom to it. And I see a freedom being released where it's like the Father is giving you permission to do whatever you want to do. Like, there are moments where he's like, this is what you're going to do. But it's like the way in which you do it, sometimes like, this is the way you're going to do it. The season now is, what way do you want to do it? Like, he's giving you permission. There's an inheritance and there's a release. There is full permission to you. And it's like, he's got your back. So he's pushing.
Yeah.
Right? It's the momentum is him. And it's like he's providing so much momentum that you're just going to not even need the swing, right? I don't need the swing to get where I need to go. I'll be carried where I need to go. And so I just bless and honor who you guys are in the kingdom of God. What you've been called to release and carry, the anointing, the gifting, the talent. I declare great favor and great grace in what you're putting your hands to. You'd see a season of multiplication like no other season of your life. You would see a season of multiplication. And I see money on trees. Unusual financial miracles. Unusual financial strategy. I feel like some of that has been put to the side, a strategy for that. And God's like, oh, it's time for the tree. And so I just thank you for the legacy that God's positioning you in, the legacy that will affect generations. We thank you, Father, it's a sign and a wonder that we can pass on inheritance to our children's children. So we thank you and we bless this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's so good. I feel like in general, you know, just to double down on this freedom to be yourself. You know, I love the question of, you know, what would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do right now in your life differently if you weren't afraid? Afraid of someone's approval? Afraid of failure? Afraid if you have enough money? What would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do if you felt like you were fully supported? How would your life be different? If you felt like you would be loved while taking the greatest risk of your life, you'd do something different, wouldn't you? We all would. We are able to increase risk to go be who we need to be when we are fully supported, loved unconditionally. And I feel like there is a grace to discover love at that level in this house. A radical love. Like a radical love that would say, we give you permission to be yourself and we promise to love you unconditionally. Brother, right there, it's for you. Just receive it right now. Permission to be yourself. Just hold your hands out like you're receiving a gift right now. I ask for an increase of freedom right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. More, more, more. Father, let it just pour over them. Freedom, freedom, freedom in a new season, in a new way. Father, we just release a fresh anointing over his life. A season of visitation. We acknowledge you, Lord, in what you're doing right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. There is a freedom to be yourself in the kingdom. God made you the right way the first time. God doesn't make junk. Come on. You know, isn't it interesting that to be lost, you first have to be possessed? For something to be lost, it first has to be possessed. Yeah? So, if something is not possessed, and it meets, it's called discovery, meaning it's completely brand new. But if something is lost, it means it was possessed before, and then it was disconnected and then reunited. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, in the kingdom, we have to begin to break some of these mindsets that everyone is, you know, our qualifications about who's in and who's out and who's allowed to receive our love and who's not allowed to receive our love. Because everything that is lost was first possessed. The world's being reunited with God. The world isn't discovering God. They're being reunited with God. Come on. What person who lost a sheep would not leave the 99, find the one, come back and say, that which is lost is now found. And if livestock doesn't get you going, how about money? What person, if they lost a shekel, would not sweep their floors, stop what they're doing, look for the coin, then when they find it, rejoice and say, that which is lost is now found. Yeah. And if money doesn't hit you enough, Luke 15, yeah. Let's talk about your kids. Yeah. That which was lost is now found. God's willing to set everything aside for that which is lost to become reunited. And we need to begin to break off the conditions of our love about who belongs and who's able to really be able to experience the fullness of the kingdom. Because when you're found in the kingdom, everything gets restored in the lap of the Father. It's not our job to restore people. It's our job to make sure they know they're invited. Then bring them to light and love and let light and love do what it does. Come on. But we can't give away what we first haven't received.
Come on.
And one of the reasons why sometimes we can be closed in our doors is because we haven't first given ourselves permission to be ourselves. And the reason we believe other people are out is because we're still not sure if we're in. And so we're trying to protect the things that feel like help us gain confidence that we're more in than we know. Because we're not confident on the work that Jesus has done for us. You're loved, you're valuable, and you have permission to be yourself. And as you let down those walls and you live in that permission in the presence of God, all the chaff's going to blow away. All the dross is going to be pulled out. All that's not of God, all the wood, hay, and stubble will be consumed, and all that will remain in you is that which is of the Lord. It's a beautiful process. But if you're not yourself, if you're not bringing things to the light, Brian was talking about, then we'll just continue the rat race of not being aligned with who God really made us to be. I give you permission to be yourself. In Christ. I release it over you right now. Courage and permission to be yourself. We need you to be yourself. The self God had on his mind when he made you. Not the old nature. Not talking about dead things here. We're not saying permission to be the dead person. We're saying permission to be the alive person. Alive unto God. Full of light and love. Thank you, Lord.
We're going to wrap this thing up.
Wind song. Could we do the wind song? Mighty breath. Real quick, I see a quill above your head, a quill, writing. And it's just like, it's like an ancient looking quill. And there's just something that he's placed on your life. I don't know if you write stuff or poems or anything like that, but I just see this anointing to write down some things, and I see a series of books. I see a series of books, and so we just bless writing. I thank you, God, that you've called those to write down what they're seeing, write down what they're hearing, and we just thank you, Father, for this gift. I just pray release on that right now over your life, just a synchronicity. I declare synchronicity right now. It would synthesize and synchronize in Jesus' name.
Come on, Kingdom family. We're just going to step into what the Lord has this morning. As we close out this week, and here's the thing, it's only closing up what he's doing here so you can go outward. What I kept hearing the Lord say is this: step into your yes. I just kept hearing him say over and over, let your yes mean yes, your no mean no. So if you said yes to God this morning, step into it. And he's going to put his weight behind it. Amen? So let's just pray. Father, right now, we say everything that you've released. I just kept hearing what the Mary's prayer, be it unto me according to your word. So Lord, we just say the things you've done, the things you've said, the things you designed us for, Lord God, we say yes to stepping in to who you made us to be. And not just a son or a daughter that inherited something, but that unique design that you created us for. That if you knew us before you knit us in our mother's womb, we say yes to that thing right now. We just say yes to that person right now. Just right in your heart, say, I say yes to who you made me to be. And nothing else will satisfy. So have all your way in me. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, come on, lift up a shout of praise.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynv.com.